The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to another program, Afternoons with Mike, heard daily here on the Shepherd Radio Network. What a joy it is to welcome Stephen Scoggins to our program. Stephen is out in Utah. He's one of the speakers coming for the U.S. Christian Chamber's Big Business Expo that's coming up next month here in Orlando. Stephen is the founder and CEO of Scoggins International. He's one of these guys that is a speaker and I think a downright motivator. He's a serial entrepreneur. That's a phrase I've used before, but it really does fit him. He is the owner of a podcast show called Unstoppable, and he is a very busy guy. It's an honor to have him on our program. Stephen, welcome.
So good to be here. So good to spend time with you, my friend.
Well, it is great. I can't wait to meet you in person at the expo. This whole expo is so exciting. We are having a lot of guests that are coming on the program that are going to be either keynotes or session speakers there at the expo. And obviously, you're one of them. It is something that it says in your bio that you went from homelessness to a serial nine-figure entrepreneur. Now, that's quite a range, Stephen. Tell me how that happened.
You know, what's funny is that's the number one question people want to know is, how did you go from homelessness to nine figures? And the reality is a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and a lot of Jesus.
Wow. That's quite a recipe right there.
Yeah. All right. You know, I think a lot of folks nowadays kind of grew up like I did in kind of difficult circumstances, you know, with one or more parents being either, suffering from alcoholism or some form of addiction or mental illness. And unfortunately, my parents kind of suffered from both. So I was largely raised by my grandmother. And at the age of nine, I actually, she came to me one afternoon and told me she was diagnosed with cancer. I'm using that loosely. Obviously, she used 9-year-old terminology. She actually told me she needed my help around the house. And what I didn't know was I would one day figuratively and literally become a crutch to get around the house. You know, she taught me how to make different types of food and all kinds of stuff out of boiled water and take care of my little brother and get a stress for school and all that kind of stuff. And when she passed away at the age of 11, I immediately went to my father, I started living with my dad, and immediately went to the construction industry. And through a circle of events, my dad had a solid business, and he lost his business. And then, you know, just a whole circle of events that kind of just really set us up to kind of always kind of live in that area. What my dad would say during that moment, he said, "Scoggins don't get ahead, they get by." And it makes you wonder how many people in life struggle because of a lifeline that they believed because of somebody else's limiting belief.
That is really a sad thing. I mean, to have that, just to get by, and that's the best you're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't offer a lot of hope. And I was very fortunate that his employer, my first mentor, a guy by the name of Steve Myrick, I call him Old Man Myrick a lot when I'm talking stage, but, you know, he was the kind of guy that was super generous, super gritty, very astute businessman, but also very good to the people that work for him. And for some reason, on the summers and holidays and weekends and all these kinds of time frames, Steve decided to pull me down off the crew many times and just mentor me and counsel me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him saying things like, "Steven, you're going to have to learn to create a legacy that outlives you. You have to be willing to do today what others won't, so you can have tomorrow what others don't. Principles always govern promises. If you want to live out a promise, there are principles that get you there." Like these types of nuggets that you would think as a teenager would like soak in and kind of really be present. But it wasn't until my father had lost his business and we had lost the house and lost the cars and all the stuff that goes with it, that I really began to really do an assessment and kind of figure out where I was in my life. And, you know, on a separate afternoon, Steve pulls me down with the crew and pops me his Jeep Grand Cherokee again. And he said, "Steve, I got a couple of questions for you." I'm like, "Okay." He's like, well, the first one is, what is the difference between a rich man and a poor man? And like a teenager, I'm like, well, duh, money, of course. And he actually snapped back at me and said, absolutely not. It's the way they think. And then he asked me a question that hit me between the eyes. He said, do you want to learn to think like me, or do you want to continue thinking like your father? Now, keep in mind, that mental Rolodex of mine went through my heart and my head so deep, because here I was talking to a multimillionaire 10 times over, very successful, very generous, very good man, very good-hearted, astute businessman. And in contrast, while my dad worked very hard and wanted to do the right thing, his intentions were there, his actions would not follow suit for that. So I went through this Rolodex of, you know, one man's borrowing money and never repays it, one man's constantly giving money and being generous. And I went through all these different things, and I was like, I had to decide kind of in that moment or set the tone of who I thought I wanted to be when I grew up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that relationship continued to deepen. You know, we got, unfortunately, in the family environment, we got further and further in the hole. I used to say I was forced to drop out to help the family take care of the bills, but I chose to drop out of high school in order to help my family pay the bills, because I got tired of the cockroaches in the mobile home. I got tired of the lights being shut off, or, yeah, you know, waking up to yet another cold shower and all this kind of stuff. And I say all that to say there are lots of families in the marketplace, lots of leaders even, that had similar upbringings than I did. And I've learned that most people with the spirit of resilience can do pretty much the impossible, especially when they manage to attach their faith to it and know what's at the core driver of it. And, you know, I went on working for a while, and you know, unfortunately, we don't have time to get into the whole story, but I'm glad to talk to people about it in person at the expo. But the long story short is I went to go work for Steve. He put me in business for myself. I made a bunch of money really fast, 19 years old, went from making, you know, a few bucks an hour to close to six figures in the late 90s, which is, you know, really, really good money in the late 90s. It didn't go very far now, but it was good money then. And yeah, I did what most people do when they've never been trained to handle money, or they've never been trained to handle leadership or team building or anything of that nature. I was arrogant, cocky, thought I had it all figured out. And I think, like most people, that is the time that God will knock on your window and remind you of who you are and whose you are by putting you through a humbling process.
Absolutely. And yeah.
That humbling process, unfortunately, took me from, you know, via pride, arrogance, and ignorance, basically. And within about a year's time, I had lost everything. Had gone from sleeping, you know, in a home that I owned, a mobile home that I owned at the time, to a room in that mobile home. And then from that room to that mobile home, getting kicked out of my own place, to us couch surfing, to car surfing, to eventually being out under the stars. And then one day finding myself at a world's gym, just to shower, because I was going to try to do a job interview, and locked eyes with myself in the mirror. I was like, dude, what the heck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You've literally been coached and mentored and taught and trained and given all this insight. You have a mentor who is incredibly successful, not just in money terms, not just in business terms, relationship terms, in his faith terms. Like he was the whole package. And here I was, stubborn and ignorant and foolish, not listening to someone that had my best interest at heart. And I think that's a metaphor for life, because I find that people who lean into their faith can normally be resilient enough to figure pretty much anything out. And those that lean away from their faith, it's like almost like doing what I was doing with Steve Myrick, which was I wasn't listening to the counsel that was already there.
Right.
How many times have we opened a Bible or we opened a journal and we've done some reflection and we've kind of looked around and there's the information is right there, but we don't take action.
Right. It's so easy.
And it
to
was
do.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
human nature.
Yeah, and that was the reason, and that I think that's what set the tone for it. And you know, I was very fortunate. I found Jesus. Jesus found me at a litter box of all places. But again, I'll have to share the story at another time. But
that sounds like a great story.
Yeah, it's a powerful one for sure. Because in that moment, I was given a promise that if I surrendered, I would be blessed. And I chose to surrender. And 3 days later, I started the company that I just recently exited 25 years ago from the trash piles of a construction site. where we literally built the things that I would need to start the company literally out of the trash piles and construct the site.
Wow.
And that company became a very successful business. It in and of itself, outside of the other businesses that I own, became a very successful, almost nine-figure company on its own, employing hundreds of people across multiple states. And, you know, and I don't know, I think it just goes to show that if you'll put your heart and focus on the right area, you can do pretty much anything. And God will bless that. He just wants your attention and your affection. If you'll give God your attention and your affection, He will give you the prosperous nature of your mind. You know, a lot of times people joke around all the time. They're like, well, you know, I've been asking God to provide a house or provide the ideal job or provide the ideal this and the ideal that. One of the things I've discovered is in by studying faith and by leaning into my own prayer and meditation time is that God doesn't give you the chair, right? So let's say, God, I want a chair. God, I want a chair. I want a beautiful chair. No, He gives you the acorn to then where you cultivate the tree to then when you chop down the tree to create the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So many times he gives you the seed of what is to become essentially your legacy long term. And as I kind of go through all of that scenario of kind of go from the homelessness to the building the larger companies, it's actually less about that for me and more about what He did with me in my heart, my mind, and my soul in an effort to help me be a better person to other people and actually radiate a blessing to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big believer that the greatest purpose in life you will ever have is serving the person you used to be. And it's because you have the empathy and the experience that that person needs in the mentorship capacity, which is why I think God allows us to go through these things.
Yeah.
You know, if we didn't go through the adversity, we would be foolish. We would do what I did the first time. We would squander the blessing.
And you know what you described is that it's incredibly important for young people to realize that what they take into their heart when they're young, it's hard for them to get it. But this kind of a mindset that was planted in you that mediocrity was going to be what you lived with, as opposed to thinking differently, I think a lot of young people, they get stuck on that. And that is also then mixed with something in our culture. And I'd love to know if you agree with this. We have this want it now thing where young people are not willing to go through that process of taking an acorn, growing a tree out of it, and making a chair out of it. They're not really embracing that by and large in today's culture. Would you agree?
Correct. Yeah, I think so. I don't even think it's willful. I think the culturistic standards that I grew up in and even now have just been exacerbated in that, you know, we are trained early on that we can get stuff for free or it should come to us naturally. And, you know, it's funny, as people realize, as people try that approach and they don't become as successful as they could be in a variety of different capacities, a lot of them, you know, 20 or 30% of them will actually figure out that the process doesn't work. And a lot of times that's why it makes sense to actually uproot yourself out of your day-to-day life and send yourself to an event or a seminar or an expo or a conference, because that's where the ideas happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the people that have already been there, done that, got the t-shirt, so to speak, to showcase and share what really is the strategical methodology behind creating success in your life. You know, and to your point, it's gonna have to have a resilience plan built into it.
That's right.
The most successful people I know, they don't run away from adversity; they lean into it, looking for the lessons.
You know, I've heard from so many people, Stephen, that it was a seminal conversation. It might have been just one of those utterances that they did hear at a conference or in a one-on-one with someone, and it seems oversimplistic to say it like this, but it was a life-changing moment for them that set them on a different trajectory. So I don't think it's trite or just a cute little saying that a person can go to a meeting and walk out different than they came into that place. That's not
1,000%
trite at all.
Yeah, 1,000%. No, I mean, I'll tell you this personal example. Right after my I call it conversion of faith or reawakening of faith, I was invited to a seminar that was held in Greensboro, North Carolina. And at this time, it was a multi-level marketing program, which is, you know, it's not my vehicle, but it works for some others. But they brought in a guy by the name of Les Brown. And Les Brown is one of the most highly rated, well-known speakers on the planet. He did a speech called It's Possible. And he laid out his life and how he was told he was going to be, you know, retarded his life, and he was underperforming at school and all this kind of stuff. And then he went from to become one of the most successful speakers on the planet. Well, when he's sharing that story, you start seeing yourself in the story. You start seeing yourself. It's funny how you can see your adversity by listening to someone else's adversity they've overcome and how that offers hope. But more importantly, not only did he offer hope, he offered this concept called It's Possible, Ladies and Gentlemen. And he'd be screaming at the top of his lungs, It's Possible, Ladies and Gentlemen. I want you to know I walked out of that one seminar with two new ideas and one seed in my heart. And the seed in my heart was, rather than saying, what if I fail? It became, what if I succeed?
Mm-hmm.
What if I succeed? And what if it really is possible? And it's crazy because, you know, it's over 700 years in the research that I've done, and that includes DNA through Ancestry.com and all this kind of stuff, all the way back to the northern part of Ireland and the southern part of Scotland into Western England, I'm sorry. I discovered that I'm one of the very few Scoggins that have ever gone on to become influential as well as affluent.
Hmm. It's almost like a family curse type thing, right?
That's exactly kind of how it felt. And here's the crazy part, is when you were brave enough to step out on faith and trust God that there's a destiny inside of you and lean into that and think about it's possible. What if it's possible? What if it's possible for me to take my business from six figures to eight figures, figures to 10?
Yeah.
Like, what if it's possible? The byproduct of that is the people that are in your family that are watching you, all of a sudden, they go from doubting you to learning from you.
Mm-hmm.
And to you actually become the witness of hope. You know, many of my family members, going through my journey of just really kind of really forging ahead and really fighting as hard as I could to kind of get to where I'm at, you know, they learned a great deal and they began trying harder. And they began to break their own family curses. And there's a byproduct of leaning into faith by way of adversity.
Wow.
And I think we can all learn something from that, because I can't think of a single person in the Bible where it ever came easy. Not one king, not one prophet, not one. Everybody went through the process. You know, King David did not learn to be a king in a palace.
That's right.
He was trained to be a king in a cave.
That's right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Jesus said the same process. So why do we think we get to bypass the process without leading into the principles, the fundamentals, and the lessons learned from the adversity?
Yeah.
That's where the foundation is built. I mean, the whole reason that people like myself are invited to come and share our hearts and our mind with great people across the world is because we chose to lean into it. I can't tell many times I've walked into an event and spoken somewhere before, and at the event, you're very fortunate to have folks come up to you and talk to you after the fact, and how many of you see them 3-5 years later, and that one event triggered something in them, and they've scaled themselves, their families, and their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a powerful process.
It sounds like it, and I want to hear more about it on the other side of this break. My guest today is Stephen Scoggins from Scoggins International. He said a lot that's really got me thinking here, and I know it probably has for you as well. We'll be back with Stephen in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3578.
My guest today is entrepreneur Stephen Scoggins, Scoggins International, one of the many companies he owns and operates. He's from Utah, and he's coming to Orlando in April for the U.S. Christian Chambers Expo. And I've been talking a whole lot about that. A lot of great speakers like Stephen will be there, and it gives us an opportunity to really get that kind of a kickstart that he's mentioned that happened to him. Sometimes it is just hearing something that fuels change in that mindset, just like what happened in Stephen. that he had grown up with. And sadly, it's often put in us by our parents, even though they may not have been meaning it maliciously or anything at all like that. It's just what they were trained in. And it becomes a product of environment, if you will. And we can have that kind of thought that I'm never going to amount to anything. But Stephen has proven that not to be true. Going from homelessness, you know, I thought of what a guy who was a pastor here in Florida, Stephen, he said this so often. I would hear him say this when he would speak. He said this: if we keep on doing what we've already been doing, we're going to have a whole lot more of what we already have. And I think that really described what was going on in your life, didn't it?
Absolutely. Well, here's an interesting piece that I've discovered is that at every moment in the given day, you are either being programmed or you are programming yourself. So the thoughts that you have are directly correlated to the types of things that you look at and you listen to. It's entirely impossible for a parent to teach a child something they would never taught themselves. There's no baseline for reflection. There's no baseline for communication. There's no baseline for overcoming limiting beliefs. And what we do as people, unfortunately, is when somebody has a big dream or a big aspiration, is we lean into the limiting beliefs that we have as if we're using it as a safety mechanism to protect the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lean into that, one of the things you quickly discover is most of us, again, are being programmed by the people, the influences, the media, the types of things that we consume on a regular basis that precondition our mind to that precondition either a what we call an expansion belief or a limiting belief. And I'm where I'm at today because I had outside sources, training, mentors, seminars, courses, podcasts, books. I just chose to lean into what I could become rather than what everybody else had told me I was going to become. And I think everybody can learn a massive lesson from that, because at the end of the day, this is your life. It's your responsibility to make it exceptional, not someone else's. And you can anchor into all the different things and how your parents didn't raise you properly or a mentor didn't do this. But you can lean into all the negativity, or you can find a way to become unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming unstoppable is a lifestyle. It is getting up one more time and you get knocked down repeatedly. But while doing that, you're always looking for the lesson. Most of us get so wrapped up in our mistakes that we allow guilt and shame and condemnation to come in and through our life and then allow it to control our life. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to release us from all of that stuff. Instead, what Jesus wants us to do is learn from the mistake, just as he did with Peter. Peter denied Christ three stinking times. And Christ had to give him three more opportunities to say, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he still used Peter to build a rock.
That's
he still
right.
used him to
yeah.
build a church. And again, the Bible is full of people who have made dumb decisions based on bad information or based on internal limiting beliefs. God can use anyone in any circumstance with any background of any kind to do something amazing. And I believe that every single person that's listening right now and every single person that's going to come and visit us at the expo has that destiny inside of them. I believe that with all of my heart because I've seen it too many times.
Right.
All it takes is one awakening, one idea, one concept, and one person who's willing to fight for the new life and really get after it. And again, I believe your listeners can do that. I believe the people coming to the expo could do that. And I can't wait to hug their neck at the expo.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see you there and to hear this kind of chat happening right in front of our eyes, because I think it does. It challenges us. And Stephen, I believe, was the name of the mentor, another Stephen mm-hmm. that was your mentor. He was sowing all of those great seeds in you back when you were quite maybe a bit resistant to receive all of it or believe all of it. Yet, isn't it amazing how that some of those seeds, they still brought forth fruit in you, even though it might have been sometime later. I think it's never too late to start learning and take on as much as you can get from people who know, like what Stephen did. Even if it doesn't help you in the short term, it's going to bear fruit in the long term.
100%. You know, the reality is God doesn't deal in bad seed. He doesn't deal in bad seed. You can put an apple seed in the snow, it's not going to grow, but as soon as it thaws, it will.
Yep, that's good.
Right? So He doesn't deal with bad seed. So again, what keeps a seed bad is our perspective of the seed. So we think a life event, someone hurt us. I've gone through numerous things in my life that are that I cover in the Journey Principles book from 2014 that I released, which is more of a memoir of faith. But each of those different segments, I thought that those things, any one of those things, were going to take me out, meaning they were going to control my life, anything from abuse to all kinds of different things. And the reality is God uses every last one of those things. It's one of the things that I do when I'm speaking from stage, I'm talking to amazing people, is I use real life stories. I tell people exactly about my background, where I failed, where I made mistakes. I don't hold back. I've learned that transparency leads to transformation. So when a thought leader or someone who's been there, done that, is willing to be honest and transparent and not look like they're some kind of guru, you know, and kind of walking the planet and I'm better than you. No. This transparency, by definition, will create transformation if it's done and being communicated by somebody who actually cares about the person listening to the content.
Right.
So as you're kind of building this out, you're kind of walking this through. Again, we've talked about the power of ideas. We've talked about the power of a seed being an idea, or whether it be a negative or positive. We've also talked about the idea of the seed itself, while you might think it's negative right now, is actually part of your story. And once you've healed from that part of it, you find the lessons, and now you can go to the former you in a different capacity. And be like, you know what? I remember being exactly where you are right now. I remember how scary it was. I remember how fearful I was. I remember how angry I was. I remember how painful it was. But let me tell you this. You may see all that stuff right now, but here's what I discovered. Here's what I explored. Here's what I found out. Here's the truth. You know, I'll give you the example. You know, my dad said, "Scoggins don't get ahead, they get by." Okay. That was a lie that I believed for a long time.
That's right.
The reality was, God determines my destiny. But it's only by the amount of focus and attention that I put on him to then put on the world. You know, so I've managed to do some cool things in business. I've managed to do some cool things in thought leadership, reading, writing, podcasting, the whole deal. But what lights me up more than anything else is seeing someone else grab a hold of an idea, a concept, and watching them catapult themselves to their future. Because I know they're going to do the same thing. You see, when you've experienced a certain level of transformation from the inside out, it's like being a brand new Christian that just finds Jesus for the first time, or just, you know, kind of acknowledges Jesus for the first time. The first thing they want to do is they want to share it from the rooftops.
That's right.
This is that internal transformation that every seed has in it, even if the seed has been buried under manure for a little while. You know what I'm saying? There's an element of taking a seed and turning it into something much more powerful if you let it.
And he wants to do that in our lives. I'm amazed at how many times I talk to guys like you, Stephen, and you are a speaker that speaks to businesses and groups, and maybe it's sales meetings and things like that. And it is the principles of the Word of God that is alive in the heart that really bear the fruit in these business things. And so these principles God gave us, they're timeless. They are real. They all come from the good God that He is. And I just really love the fact that you have been affected by this man that you said he had it in all of these different directions. He had it right. He was doing it right. He was the whole package, I think you said. Now, your own relationship with the Lord, I know that you had a kind of an awareness of him growing up. At the same time, you were getting some of this bad intel from your parents. But how was it that you came to saving faith in Christ, where it wasn't anybody else's relationship? It was his relationship with you. How did that happen?
You know what? The God's honest truth is, when you go through a tremendous amount of adversity, and for those who may or may not be aware of my background and seen some of my content or seen me speak or read the first book or any of that stuff, one of the things that become very apparent is that I became someone who is judging God based on man's behavior. And I think we all do that. So I became someone who was from being baptized at 9 years old to completely walking away from faith and being a professing atheist that would argue and debate Christians on a regular basis about how God wasn't real and Jesus wasn't real and all this kind of stuff. to someone who knows not only is Jesus real, but he's present with me every single moment of the day. Every single moment of the day. And my transformation happened when I finally realized that I was letting the experiences of my life dictate the beliefs of my heart. And when you do that, it's very easy for the enemy to lie to you on a regular basis and tell you all the things you're not supposed to be or you can't be, or remind you of your past or your struggles or the things that happened to you or the things that you did to yourself. You end up living in a state of anger, frustration, and disappointment rather than a state of grace, mercy, and hope. And for me, I kind of got to a place where this is right after I was homeless and I was starting to rebuild my life. Rebuilding my life. I had just escaped a suicide attempt and my brother went to give me $50 to clean his litter box. And without going into the deep part of the story, because it will take a while to say, let's just say I went to go clean the litter box and the handle snapped, the bag got cut, stuff all over the floor. And I finally dropped everything and started screaming at the top of my lungs in every obscenity known to man. If you're so blankety blank real, why don't you show it and prove it? The crazy part was I was not expecting an answer, but yet I was knocked onto my knees. Physically knocked onto my knees and pinned to the floor. And the quietest little voice that I've ever heard just said, are you ready to surrender?
Mm.
And imagine this. Imagine saying something so aggressive and mean-spirited and angry, and all you get back is love. All you get back is love and opportunity.
Yeah, that's good.
I've learned it's Yeah, it is God. And I've learned it's okay to be angry with God because he's not angry with you. He's the good father. He's the good steward. He's the good shepherd. He's able to take every single pain, frustration, and turn it into something purposeful and useful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've learned that now, but at the time, in that moment, you know, I was faced with a decision. Do I go ahead and surrender? Or do I continue living the life that I've been living? And it took me all the way back to that first conversation with Steve. Do you want to learn to think like me, or do you want to continue thinking like your father?
Yeah.
You see, on earth, we have two fathers, right? Not just a biologicalist. From a metaphor, we have two fathers. We have the metaphor of the world, which is get as much as you can, as quickly as you can, and it doesn't matter how you get it. And then you've got the good father, the father that created the universe and heaven and everything around it and in it. That says, I created you for a plan and a destiny for my purpose. And when you're acting in my purpose, ironically, you fill the purpose field, which is kind of nuts. And the Bible says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. But it also says that after you're chasing him, he gives you the desires of your heart, because the desires of your heart become the desires of his heart. So therefore, you're in unity.
Mm.
You know, I was very fortunate. I couldn't move, so I didn't think I had a lot of options. But I surrendered to that moment, and I never looked back. And literally a week later is when I started the company on the trash piles that I just recently exited. So that alone is the testament to the experience that I had, that God is true. And every time I think about it, every time a doubt rises in my head, I'm human, so doubts pop up every now and again. But every single time that a doubt pops up in my head, I remember those experiences. I remember the times that he brought me out of a fire that I thought I would never escape from, and how he redeemed me from pains that I never thought I would ever walk away from. God is that good. He's that good in your business. He's that good in your relationships. He's that good in your mind. He's that good in your desire for him. You show up for God, and he will show up for you 10x every single time. Yeah, every single time.
That's right.
The problem is we keep leaning away from him. We get lost in the we can't pay a bill. We get lost in our breakups. We get lost in our fights and our arguments with people that we love and respect, that for some reason we can't get on the same page. But it's because we're so focused on those experiences that we're not focused on the one that created everything to begin with and the fundamentals and the principles that he uses to teach us.
Wow.
You know, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. What do we do as humans? We hate and belittle each other on a regular basis. Jesus said, come to me who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yet we run away, tired, anxious, frustration, depressed, and into a storm that we never think we're going to escape from. What if we just listened to the Lord and actually obeyed his concept rather than creating concepts or trying to reimagine or retell what he said? What if we just actually used his words?
Yeah, and believe
his words
them.
In our business,
yeah.
his words in our relationships, his words in general. That's probably the core thing. But one of the things I'll be sharing at the expo is I'm planning on teaching people how to become one part lion and one part lamb. And there's a major story behind that. And I'll share that story at the expo.
Oh,
and
that
I guarantee
great.
It'll shift some hearts.
Oh, this is so good. We've got just a couple of minutes left. I know you have to go, and I really appreciate the time you're giving us all here. For someone that's hearing this and might be where you were with your mentor, when he asked that fateful question to you, are you going to think like me or are you going to think like your dad? What are the first steps that when a person hears you talk, what first step can they take that will take them away from where they're standing at that moment?
The easiest thing to do is to pay attention to what you're focused on. What you focus on, you feel. And if you're focused on your pains, you're going to feel your pains. However, if you begin to focus on your future day in and day out, you will not only see your future, you will obtain your future. It's what you focus on. You cannot wake up every single day out of the bed and think today is going to be like yesterday. You have to wake up every single day and believe today is going to be the first day of the best day of the rest of my life. Wow. Every single day. You've got to stay in that zone. If you stay in that zone, not only will you win in this world that we call home, but you'll also win in heaven because your ideas, your concepts, and your revelations are coming from the greatest power ever to exist. One that is outside of time, talent, and eternity.
You know, I found out in my own life, Stephen, that what you said right there is so key, is that we have to begin to believe that God is going to do something. And the answer, ultimately, we try to make the answer come from within our own mind or our own imagination. And so often, it's when we come into alignment with Him that He allows us to see what He's doing and how He's bringing that answer. I'm sure that has been your experience too.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Well, it's so great to have had you on the line with us today, Stephen Scoggins from Scoggins International. How can people find your books as well as your podcast?
Oh, gosh. Probably easy to just go to stephenscoggins.com website. Stephen with a P-H, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S-C-O-G-G-I-N-S.com. Or you can see me on Instagram. I spend a lot of time there. We produce about a lot of content. We're very fortunate to have this on our million subscribers collectively across all platforms. We're trying to make a difference in the world, and we would invite you to come and spend some time with us and learn more about how we can make you better.
I believe you're doing it. Thank you so much, Stephen, for being with us. And friends, have a great day.